بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. Respected elders and dear brothers, over the last few lessons we have been discussing regarding the beliefs of the mushrikeen, the polytheists of Makkah Mukarrama, and particularly how they rejected the nubuwwat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They denied the concept of life after death, of there being any qiyamah, any day of judgment. Now moving ahead, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of a few of their practices in order to highlight the foolish nature of their practices, how illogical their practices were, so that a person who will study this or who will read this will understand and realize that together with their beliefs being incorrect, their practices also were incorrect. So the first of these practices that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions is that whenever there was a harvest of crops, or likewise when they would get some cattle or some livestock, then these people would set aside two portions. So they would put aside two portions, and they would say that this one portion, for example, the certain amount of wheat or these few sheep or goats, this is for Allah. And they would then take that particular portion and they would feed it to the poor and the needy. And they would then set aside a second portion and say that this is for our idols. And they would then go and leave this in front of the idols. So this was the first thing that made no sense. Allah was the creator of the crops, creator of the livestock. Yet they were setting aside just a portion for him and the rest for the idols. But further, what they would then do is that if by chance the portion set aside for Allah happened to have a little bit extra, then they would immediately take out that extra and put it into the portion of the idols. And on the other hand, if the portion of the idols had to have more wheat, or perhaps one more sheep or one more goat, then they would say, leave it in the portion of the idols, don't put that back in Allah's portion, because Allah is ghani, He is not in need, He is independent, therefore we rather give a little bit more to our idols. So Allah speaks about this, وَجَعَلُوا لِلَّهِ مِمَّا ذَرَأَ مِنَ الْحَرْثِ وَالْأَنْعَامِ نَصِيبًا, that they assigned to Allah, or they set aside for Allah, from that which He Himself has created, their crops and their livestock, they set aside a portion for Allah. فَقَالُوا هَذَا لِلَّهِ بِزَعْمِهِمْ, and they would then say, this is reserved for Allah, and they did this according to their own assumption, their own understanding. وَهَذَا لِشُرَكَائِنَا, and then they would set aside another portion and say, this is for our idols. فَمَا كَانَ لِشُرَكَائِهِمْ فَلَا يَصِلُ إِلَى اللَّهِ, that which went into the portion of their idols, then this would not make its way to Allah. In other words, as we had mentioned, if something extra went into the portion of the idols, they would not then put it over into Allah's portion. وَمَا كَانَ لِلَّهِ فَهُوَ يَصِلُ إِلَى شُرَكَائِهِمْ, but that which went to Allah's portion, mistakenly some extra went there, then that would immediately be put back into the portion of their idols. Allah discusses this entire thing and then says, سَاءَ مَا يَحْكُمُونَ, how foolish a decision, how evil a decision. This makes no sense, no logical sense whatsoever. So this was the first false practice of the mushrikeen. The second that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions, وَكَذَلِكَ زَيَّنَ لِكَثِيرٍ مِّنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ قَتْلَ أَوْلَادِهِمْ شُرَكَاؤُهُمْ, Allah says, in the same way that the shayateen and those who they chose to follow made this practice of setting aside crops and livestock for Allah and for the idols, in the very same way these shuraka, those who they worship, the evil shayateen and jinnat, made fair seeming to them the murder of their very own children. And we know that in Jahiliyyah this was a common practice, where they would take the life of their daughters who were born to them, and they would do this out of shame, that how can I be the father of a girl, of a female. And they would take this very far by saying that firstly, this girl, when she will grow up, then she will not be of any physical assistance to me, and more than that, I will be responsible for getting her married and all the expenses associated with this, therefore it is too much of difficulty for me. And they would take the life of their daughters. And Mufassirin mentioned at times they would even take the lives of their own sons. It was common amongst the mushrikeen that if they wanted something to happen, perhaps they wanted something from the side of Allah, whatever it may be, perhaps the person wanted cure from some disease, or he wanted some profit to be seen in his business, then he would take a vow and say that, "Oh Allah, if this happens, then I perhaps have 5 sons, so one of those sons I will take his life for your sake." So there, shayateen and jinnat and whoever they would worship would make this seem fair and seem reasonable to them. And the result of this, Allah says, لِيُرْدُوهُمْ وَلِيَلْبِسُوا عَلَيْهِمْ دِينَهُمْ. This only would result in their own destruction, and it resulted in confusion in their deen. They didn't know what was right from what was wrong. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ مَا فَعَلُوهُ. A person may think that such foolish practices and so much of harm that they were causing, how is it possible that Allah allowed this to happen? So Allah mentions, don't think that they did this without Allah's permission. Of course, Allah did not condone it, and Allah did not sanction it, but Allah allowed it to happen. وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ. If Allah wished, مَا فَعَلُوهُ, they would not have been able to do this. فَذَرْهُمْ وَمَا يَفْتَرُونَ. So, O Nabi of Allah, leave them, don't worry about them, and all of these practices that they fabricate. And here ulama have explained a very important concept, and that is, whatever happens in this world, be it good or bad, be it iman or kufr, this happens with the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A very subtle difference. One is the permission of Allah, and the other is the happiness of Allah. Allah mentions very clearly in Quran, وَلَا يَرْضَى لِعِبَادِهِ الْكُفْرِ. Allah is not happy with his slaves turning to kufr, turning to disbelief, or the actions of disbelief, but Allah permits it. He allows it to happen, and this is for some reason, for some wisdom. Ulama have explained by means of a simple example. The father says to the son, don't put your finger into the lighter or the fire, there's a flame there, or don't touch the stove because you'll get burnt. But the son doesn't want to listen, he's stubborn. He keeps on going towards that flame or towards that fire. So one day the father is standing there, and as that child approaches, he's got the lighter in his hand, or he comes close to the stove, the father allows him to continue advancing, allows him to put his hand into that flame, allows him to get burnt in order to teach him a lesson, so that in future he won't do it again. This does not mean the father is happy to see his child being burnt. No father will be happy with this. So his pleasure is not there, but his consent is there. He allows it to happen. In the same way, Allah is not pleased with actions like this, but Allah permits it to take place. Why? So that every person can be responsible for his own end. You were given a choice, worship Allah, worship the idols, follow the commands of Allah, or follow what you have fabricated. Allah will allow you to do as you choose, so that on the day of Qiyamah, it will not be said that Allah made zulam on anyone, Allah oppressed anyone, and how is it that Allah is punishing anyone? You made these choices and decisions, therefore you will have to face the consequences. Allah give us tawfiq and understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.